Hey Tribe, this is Elaine. I'm 64. I live in southern Lower Michigan. I've been with the tribe since November of 2014, and I've lost about 70 pounds. I'm Tribe for life. Hashtag until I draw my last breath.
Hey, I'm Jerry Perry. I'm from West Virginia, living in Connecticut. I joined PNP in September 2016. I've lost 70 pounds. I am PNP for life. Before I joined PNP, I believed that life happened to me. And now I know that life happens for me, and also that my choices make life happen.
Hey, Tribe Sisters, Addie here, also known as Slayer. That's my future self name. And I am in Phoenix, Arizona. I have followed Fit and Fat since January of 2018. I found Kryn's podcast. And then I was a groupie in the March Back to Basics, and I joined the tribe in May. And I have lost almost 90 pounds. I'm at about 88 right now. And I'm on schedule for goal in September, and I will be at 162 at that point. And I can't remember the last time I was there, right? So I was nearly 300 pounds when I started. So grateful, and I've learned so much this year.
Hi, my name's Mandy Dugan, and I live all the way down in the Florida Keys. I've been with PNP since the end of 2016, and I've lost 72 pounds and have changed way more about my life than just my weight since joining PNP. I am extremely grateful for everything I've learned here, everything that Kryn has been able to teach me, along with all of the other amazing coaches and so many wonderful ladies throughout the tribe. And I can't imagine where my life would be today if it wasn't for PNP.
Hey Tribe, my name is MJ Sharifi. I'm from Rock Hill, South Carolina. I found Kryn in January of 2018, and I followed the podcast and just started kind of doing my own thing. And then in March of 2018, I joined the tribe at that opening. And since January of last year, 2018, I have lost 80 pounds, and I'm currently in maintenance and could not be happier with the changes that I have made and the changes that I have seen in my life and the life of my family. When I hear negative self-talk, this is how I respond. So at this point, I've gotten pretty good at catching it. So sometimes I'll even be like, what the hell was that thought? Where did it even come from? That's not even true. And I can just squash it down and move along. But at first, I didn't even hear them. I didn't even hear all of them because I had been playing those things on a loop in my head for 40 years. They were just playing on repeat over and over and over until they became the truth. They became who I was. So one thing that really helped me a lot was getting involved with Marco Polo groups, because I would get on there and say something in the morning, and then they would be able to pull the thoughts out for me and point out that they weren't true. But I couldn't recognize that at first. I could not see that they were just not true at all. So the other thing that really helped me a lot were ladder thoughts. You know, when I would say, I'm never going to lose this weight, I would change it and say, I am open to believing that I can be a person who maybe be able to lose his weight. So, you know, Kryn has like definite, like easy ladder thoughts. I put all the qualifiers in there. I'm open to maybe believing that one day somehow I'm going to figure this out. And then, I just would not allow just the completely negative thoughts to live in my brain. I just wouldn't. I would put as many qualifiers on them as I needed. And then as time went on, the qualifiers got a little bit less and a little bit less and a little bit less. But at first I needed all of them so that I could maybe believe that it could even be true. Could I really lose weight? Could I really keep weight off? Could I really be an exerciser? So I just found out that I needed to be in a place of curiosity. And I needed to question all of my thoughts because they were so much who I was. They were so embedded in my brain that whenever I first heard Corinne talk about negative self-talk, I was like, I don't have any of that. I'm good. But it's because it was so ingrained in my brain that I couldn't even hear it. I couldn't even pick those thoughts out. So that's where TDLs helped a lot in the Marco Polo groups, because I was able to see other people had to point out to me that maybe that's not true. I don't think that's true at all. So that did help me a lot whenever I started hearing the negative self-talk.
When I hear negative self-talk, negative thoughts come into my head, the way that I respond to myself now is I tell myself, these are not thoughts that are serving me. These are not thoughts that are getting me to my goal. These type of thoughts are giving me negative emotions, which always turn into negative actions. And I have to constantly remind myself when these type of negative thoughts pop in my head, as they do sometimes on a daily basis, that that's just not how I think anymore. And I'm not going to let those thoughts control my emotions or the actions that I have planned out for my day. And so through the principles and thought work and the model that I've learned here in PNP, I have really been able to redirect those negative thoughts when they do come in and remind myself that feeding into that type of thinking is not what got me to my goals that I'm at today, or that it won't get me to the ones I'm still trying to reach. So definitely grateful for the model and learning how to change those thoughts around and find new thoughts.
So 2.5 years in, and after having gone from a size 18 to a size 8-10, the mean girl still rears her ugly head sometimes, and negative self-talk still happens. In the beginning, I thought I had to argue with her because I believed her. And now I know for sure that it's just a habit and it's always going to happen. And I actually just laugh now and say, oh, there she is again. And I tell her to sit down and shut up.
When I hear negative self-talk, this is how I respond. Negative self-talk to me is something that is always going to be a work in progress, I think. It may be that for all of us. But when I think about it, especially when I hear it from somebody else, I always think, well, you wouldn't talk to your best friend like that. And so I remind myself, when it comes to negative self-talk, I am my best friend. I will always be my best friend. So I remind myself that I don't speak to my best friend like that. And I'm able to get to a point where that negative self-talk is not so prevalent in my life. Like I said, totally a work in progress, but that's my go-to thought when I have negative self-talk.
When I hear negative thoughts, I really look to turn the thought around. And I grew up in a pretty positive household, and I always consider myself a pretty positive person. But it has been a game changer learning the model and the concept of circumstances and understanding that our thoughts create our feelings and our actions and the results and what we can drive from changing our thoughts. So, you know, my accountability group, the Radiators and I, we always had this thing. We'd say, oh, that's a thought, right? That's a thought we're having. So how can you flip that thought to create a different feeling for yourself? And now it's evolved to the point where I can really sit in that feeling and understand that I had that thought and be okay with feeling the feeling now and understanding that, you know, sometimes it's going to take me a little bit of time to flip that thought, but I've identified it, I recognize it, and I understand why I'm feeling how I am. And sometimes that's enough to move through it and continue pushing through to the result I want. I really like to take any like kind of negative body image talk or self-doubt I have about myself and try to make a complete change with that. And often for me, that'll go to stepping inside of myself a little bit, going into meditation or writing. I write a lot and I write out. I do morning pages, 3 pages every morning, which is a massive thought download. I get all the shit out at the beginning, and by the end, I'm talking about how friggin' fantastic I am every single day, and it's magic for sure. So learning to slay my mind has been key.
So some of the positive, loving things that I say to myself are sometimes just simply, you're a badass. Look at everything you've achieved so far. We've not come this far to quit now. Sometimes I have to remind myself that I am a great mom. I'm a great wife. I'm an awesome friend, an awesome daughter. People can count on me. I have great integrity and something that I've always valued. I'm very honest, maybe sometimes too honest by people's standards. But I really like to sit down and write a gratitude list when I'm kind of feeling down on myself or having one of those low self-esteem days or fat girl thinking is trying to rule my brain. And I just have to start pulling out all those things about me that I know are great so that I can start focusing on them. And that is what I tell myself and try to remind myself of all the successes that I have had that have got me to this new amazing version of myself.
Positive things I say about myself. Oh, are you sure? I like to tell myself I am Slayer. I'm a wild ass woman, storyteller, warrior, badass. And I am here to slay and live from my heart, sing and my radiance and go out and put as much light into the world as I can. And I want to radiate so much from the inside that it just contaminates the entire world and blows it up. And from this radiance, from understanding my heart sing and putting that out into the world and creating that headspace for myself, giving my time for that mindset, 5 a.m. club, you guys, all day long, getting my mindset, health set, heart set, soul set allows me to just like ooze that into the world and create fabulous things and, more importantly, fabulous feelings, which in turn makes me make fantastic actions and great, amazing results. And it's a process, and you keep doing these small things that level everything up, and you get to where things it just gets more and more fun and more fantastic. But there are small changes. You don't go from a 300-pound blob to 162 pounds overnight. And you don't go from, oh my God, I don't know where I'm going to go, to all of a sudden you're running marathons.
These are some of the positive things that I say to myself. That for me, it shows me self-love. I practice the I ams. So when I particularly feel like I need to reinforce that self-love in myself, I say, I am safe. I am beautiful. I am a good friend. I am whatever. I just fill in that blank. And I try to do as a matter of practice, do that 3 times a day on my 24-hour plan to just show that. It's something I've been working on for a long time. So that's what I do for me.
So we all need a cheerleader in our corner, and that person should always be you. So some of the most important things you can do is give yourself supportive and positive self-talk. I do that in a lot of ways. Some of them will be uncomfortable for you possibly at first. What I started doing, gosh, probably like a year and a half ago, is when I look at myself in the mirror, just give that girl a wink. Tell her that you love her. Some days that is easy and it puts a smile on your face. And some days when you're not feeling so great about yourself or great about something that happened or great about the world in general, it's a little tougher. But the more you say it, the more you appreciate it. And the more you appreciate it, the more you look forward to doing it. And the more you do it, the more you believe it. I mean, there is nothing better than that for me, just saying, I love you. I also call myself lovingly Jer or girl or sister. And sister, you've got this. Sister, you know what to do. Sister, there is nothing you cannot handle. I just find that calling myself like a pet name, like my friend or my sister would, just reminds me that I am my own friend. And some of us are our own worst enemies. And so getting out of the habit of that has been very important for me. So next time you walk by that mirror, give yourself a little wink. And when you look really good, tell yourself, you look hot today. And when you're having a bad day, tell yourself that it's going to be better tomorrow. It's going to be better with your very next decision.
These are some of the loving things that I routinely say to myself. So this is how I work it. There is a cheerleader and she lives in my brain all the time. And she helps me celebrate even the smallest of wins. Like the smallest choice I make to move myself closer to my goal, she's in there cheering me on. So when I first started PMP, I drank coffee all day long, drank coffee until 5 o'clock. And then at 5 o'clock, I would switch to wine. So when I started, I had 0 ounces of water a day, none, not 1 ounce of water a day. So when I started drinking 8 ounces of water, that's how I started, 8 ounces of water. And in my head, it was a party. I was like, you go, girl. You got 8 ounces of water. Look at you go. 8 ounces of water. 8 ounces of water. Look at me being a badass drinking 8 ounces of water. When I parked my car far away from the Target instead of the first spot available, I celebrate that in my head. I'm like, you are going to get this. This is how we live our life now. We don't park near the door. No, we don't. We park far away so we can walk in. That's what we do. She lives in my head and she talks to me all day long. And that's fine by me. I love having a little cheerleader in the back of my brain. And I always find the smallest of things. You know, whenever I first started exercising, look at me exercising 2 days in a row. This is how we get it done. This is how we get it done. We get it done just like this. And I always tell myself, nothing tastes as good as going to bed proud feels. I have sticky notes everywhere. I have sticky notes on things that I routinely grab as. I have sticky notes on my computer. I have sticky notes in my car. I have sticky notes on my refrigerator. And one thing right now that I have plastered everywhere, how bad do you want it? And the answer in my head is pretty flipping bad. It's not flipping. Y'all know it's not. I do listen to Corinne Crabtree. So I surround myself with positive affirmations. Not only do I surround myself with it, I let this cheerleader that I have developed live in my head. She tells me everything that I'm doing right. Everything. When I throw 3 bites of food away, I promise you, there's a party in this head of mine. Like, look at you throwing 3 bites of food away. That's how we get it done. That's how we meet our goals. That's how it works. She always talks to me. And I love it. I love that she's always there. And the thing that I didn't realize is when you start to become your own cheerleader and you're celebrating the little things in your head, it bleeds out to your family.
Some of the ways that I take care of myself now are a lot different than how my life used to be. I do my 24-hour plans and assessments so I can continue to make progress and see where I need to make improvements. And for a long time, I did not stick to planning and journaling and assessing and things like that. I wanted to just go with the flow and see how that worked for Mandy, but that was not the best way. So I'm glad I've adopted that habit, and it is something that really does take care of me because it keeps me accountable, even if it's just with myself. But it also keeps me focused on what I'm doing that day. And sometimes I have so much going on in a day that I definitely need that plan and that focus. Another way that I've been taking care of myself lately is getting coaching when I need it and reaching out to other tribe sisters for help and support, where I used to be the type of person that would just, you know, I can handle it and I'll handle it myself and I don't need anybody. And sometimes that worked and a lot of times it didn't. So I'm very grateful for that too. I plan alone time now, which I always felt guilty about in the past, but was always trying to get. And so when I was not planning that or feeling like I was okay to do that, like it would make me a bad mom or it would take time away from my marriage or anything, I lived with that guilt and resentment of not being able to get that alone time. And I would just end up taking it anyways and staying up way too late and not getting enough sleep. Which is also a way that I take better care of myself now, because I always kind of put sleep, the right amount of sleep, on the back burner as a self-care thing for me. And the older I get, the more that I see it is very important and it does help me. Other things that I do to take care of myself are I go to PNP retreats and events, every single one that I can. I always feel like I come out of it a better person, and like I've leveled up somewhere in my life after that. Just going to a PNP event with all the great things that we get to learn that help me move to the next level in my life is one thing, but just the camaraderie and the fulfillment I get with being with tribe sisters and our group of people that all just are in the same boat, and we understand what everyone's going through, and that unconditional love and support is something that I never realized I needed so much and how important it was for me. So that is something that I definitely make a point to do. I do a lot more things that bring me joy instead of spending most of my time doing things that bring a lot of other people joy. And that meaning, you know, being what I call a recovering people pleaser. I spent way too much of my life pleasing everyone else, taking care of everyone else, and not myself. And I see that the more that I do things that bring me joy and make me feel good about myself and take care of myself in a loving way, just like the loving way that I take care of my children, I tend to be an even better mom, an even better wife. And the more I take care of myself, the more that I want to focus on being a better self and getting to that better, best version of me, which includes moving along in my weight loss journey and my fitness journey and just everything about myself. And I sometimes look at myself and think, why couldn't you have learned this such a long time ago? You know, and the things that I could have not had to go through or deal with if I had realized that taking care of me first was such an important thing. But I don't dwell in that because I know every single thing that I did or didn't do got me to the place that I am today. And I love where I'm at today and the person that I am today. And I have PNP to thank for a lot of that.
Some of the ways that I take care of myself. The first one is to always have a plan. I actually do a weekly plan for my diet when I do food prep so that I have the foods prepared that I've put on my plan, and then always knowing what I'm going to eat in advance makes it just so much easier. I don't have to think about it. It's one less thing for me to clutter up my brain with. The second thing that I do is move my body. I'm getting older, and you know, sometimes you have to remind yourself that if you don't bend, you're gonna break. And so keeping myself limber and doing stretches and walking on a regular basis, in addition to whatever other workout plan you want, but stretching and walking, and then also having a meditation practice for me. I'm trained in transcendental meditation, and it just helps me clear my mind twice a day for 20 minutes each time. Those things are just immeasurable in how they make me feel. The other thing I do is, I live in a house of boys. I'm married and I have two teenage boys. They're wonderful, but my house is full of testosterone. And so the other thing that I do is take time for myself. If that means that I go to my bedroom and close my door for a little while, if it means I come out here on the front porch to make a video, if it means that I just hop in the car and drive and go get a coffee, you know, whatever. I also plan time with my friends. Another sacred thing that I do, we all should be doing for sure, is journaling. I do my TDLs. I do my models. I just think about the things that I'm grateful for. So if I don't have anything in particular that I need to work out that day, I just write the things that I'm grateful for. And there's so much. It's May in Connecticut, and I'm sitting outside in a tank top, and it was a long winter. So reminding yourself of those things, there's always something to be thankful for. Reminding yourself of those things, it just does a lot for your mental status for a day. And joy, finding joy in those things and being happy, the best things you can do for yourself. It puts a smile on your face and a smile in your heart, and it just makes life better, and you're better for everyone else in your life.
So what are some of the things that I do that are of self-care to take care of myself, however you want to say it? One of the things I do for self-care is read inspirational things. So I have A Year of Miracles that I read just about daily. I read portions of the poem, The Invitation, on a regular basis. It's just words that really touch my spirit. Quite often that happens before my feet ever hit the floor in the morning or last thing before I go to bed at night. I will open the windows no matter the weather so I can hear the trains as they go by. At night, I'm about a mile from the tracks, and to me, the trains at night are like a lullaby. I'm a sucker for thunderstorms. I will sit on the porch and listen to that thunder and just sort of feel it in my bones. It just speaks to me in ways I can't even explain. But the most important thing that I do for myself is go to the water. Water. It's like who I am. It's part of me. I mean, I think my whole spirit remembers that we kind of all, our genesis was the water. So I just love it. And it doesn't need to be the ocean or a big lake. It can be a stream. It can be whatever. I hear God's voice in the water, and that is something I do to care for myself.
These are some of the ways that I take care of myself. So this is how I roll. I'm so excited about this part. So I changed my attitude. Instead of like people always talk about having an attitude of gratitude, I have an attitude of self-care. So anything that I do that pushes me even a small amount towards my future self is my self-care. So, for instance, I love to exercise in the morning. I never thought I would say that. I get up at 5, but the night before, I make my coffee so that when I wake up in the morning, it turns on at like 4:30 in the morning. So when my alarm goes off at 5, I smell the aroma of coffee and it helps me get out of bed in the morning. That is self-care. Laying out my clothes at night for a workout so that whenever I get up in the morning, everything is laid out and ready for me. That is my self-care. Everything is my self-care. Washing my dishes at night so that whenever I wake up in the morning, I have a clean kitchen. That is my self-care because it pushes me toward my goal. Anything that I do today to serve me in my future is self-care for me. So whenever I park away from the store, that's my self-care. Whenever I catch myself wanting to say something negative to myself, and I catch it and I squash it, that's my self-care. Whenever I get on Marco Polo and I connect with other tribe members, that's my self-care. Everything that pushes me closer to my goal is my self-care. Whenever I changed my attitude about that from like manicures and pedicures and facials and getting my hair done, it completely changed everything. When I get my work done at work, so that whenever I can come home, I can do whatever I need to do for the rest of the day, that's my self-care. Everything that I do to propel myself forward is self-care. And I love that attitude. I love just changing everything. Whenever you think that something is a chore or a task or whatever, it makes you not want to do it. But when you start to think of it as self-care to make your day easier, to make your tomorrow easier, it makes it so much more enjoyable to do, and it makes it so much more worth it. And you don't mind doing stuff as much because you just have this attitude of, I'm taking care of myself. I am serving myself. Because I was a lot like, I bought into what Corinne said. You know, if the oxygen mask falls down, you have to put it on yourself first. So I have really taken to heart that I need to do everything I can to take care of myself. And that is every decision I make all day long. I just live in this perpetual idea of doing things is my self-care. And it has changed my whole attitude about all of the things that I do. About writing a 24-hour plan. 100% that's my self-care. Filling out overeating worksheets, recovery worksheets. That's 100% my self-care. Because it's propelling me forward. It is taking care of myself right now so that I get to meet my future self. Everything I do that whenever I sit down and I'm working on the self-love course or whenever I, you know, listen to a live call and I carve out a piece of time for myself so that I can do that, that's my self-care. All of it is self-care. I am so excited that now whenever I see a chore in front of me, and it serves me and it pushes me forward, that's my self-care. And it's just taking care of me. It's taking care of the person I am today and taking care of the person that I want to be. That's how I view self-care.
Ways I like to take care of myself. Not only do I love a good pedicure and a massage, which I do make sure I get, of course, but self-care has evolved into much more than that for me. The 5 a.m. club, right? Getting up early and creating time for myself is essential to me living my best life. And I get up every morning and I write first thing. I get all the crap out of my head. Julia Cameron in The Artist's Way talks about taking your dark self out for a cup of coffee and a stroll. And this way you don't have to affect the rest of the world with it, right? Or like Corinne, it's a massive TDL, basically. And then I meditate and I really go inside myself and I listen to the universe and I set peace within myself and time for just me and to feel the energy of things greater than me. And then I try to get out to my mountain, if I can't hit the mountain, to try to get some sort of activity to get my body pumping. And those are my essentials in the morning. And those are what I consider now what needs to be done to be taken care of me. If I miss my meditation in the morning or in the afternoon, I feel it now. If I miss my morning pages, getting those thoughts out of my head and dreaming and talking about how fantastic I am, if I don't get those things done for me, I feel like I'm not taking care of myself in that day. And so I've made those non-negotiables, like no matter what, they have to happen. Like if you have a doctor's appointment, if you have to stop the world for something and get there, I make those things happen. And it's been a complete life changer.
What do I think, or what do I remind myself when I look at pictures? Looking at pictures to me didn't used to be that much of a deal because I had no pictures of myself. I just refused to take them. I had pictures of my son, I had pictures of my grandkids, and I just didn't take pictures with me in them. But now when I look at pictures of myself, it's like, damn, you're 64. You look damn good for 64. And I remind myself of that. And I remind myself looking at a before and after picture of how far I've come in my journey, not only weight loss wise, but just within my mental and my spiritual growth. And I enjoy looking at pictures. And I have no problem posting them. I didn't used to post pictures at all either, but I enjoy doing that now because, I mean, this is who I am. That's not going to change. And I like me.
When I look at pictures, I remind myself that it's just one moment, one click of a button. That's all it is. And so normally whenever you take pictures or pictures are taken of you, it is whenever you're doing something fun or you're enjoying your friends or you're enjoying your family or you're at a party or whatever. And so I always, when I look at a picture, I always try to think of the experience. What was going on? Who was I with? What were we doing? You know, what were some of the funny things maybe that were said at the time? And then I never, never, never zoom in on a picture. I never do. Even now, I never do. I don't want to pick myself apart. I would choose to look at the picture as a whole and then remember the time that I was having, the good time that I was having. And then when I was bigger, when I was not at my ideal weight, and I did still have a lot of negative self-talk, I used qualifiers all the time. I would look at a picture and I would say, I look so bad. I'm so big. And I would say, but I am smaller than I was, but I am improving myself every day, but I am learning how to take care of myself. So I always, and even now, I mean, if I see something I don't like, you know, oh gosh, that picture looks so bad, but it was just one moment. We still had a good time. Everybody was having fun. Nobody seemed to care at the time. Everybody was enjoying themselves. So I don't really, the picture is just a reminder of the experience that I was having. And that's all it is. So I always look at it like that. Like, what was the experience? What were we doing? What was going on at the time? Not necessarily what I looked like or what I had on or, you know, all that kind of stuff. I just look at the experience because that is what the picture, it reminds me of, is what was going on at the time. And it means so much to have those memories captured for me. So I'm super excited to have them. And I'm grateful to have them instead of looking at it and pulling myself apart, tearing myself apart. I feel like it takes away from the experience that was had when the picture was taken. So I just don't worry about that stuff. I just worry about the experience.
When I look at pictures, it's really interesting. Start taking them. The more and more I take pictures, the more it just, like, they don't bother me. Bad pictures don't bother me because I know I take good pictures too. And this was the same case when I was 300 pounds, right? The more pictures you take, the less you go about judging yourself about them. It's like it's practice, right? Like, pictures are wonderful memories. And even like pictures of me when I was heavier and starting, as my mind was starting to shift, I remember looking at her, at the pictures, and being like, it's okay. I'm doing everything I can do. And I love me, right? Telling myself that and looking at myself from love and compassion and really understanding that I am beautiful from inside, and finding that heart sing and the love is so, so much more of a life changer than just my physical body having changed, right? It's finding that inner light through finding your dreams again and, you know, writing about them. Like Corinne talks about writing about the pool she wanted forever, right? And how many times have you heard her say to us, write, believe big, dream, those things will become reality for you. And you have to start to find that again. That, I think, for me has been the biggest change this year, is believing hard, dreaming hard, and believing in me and myself and looking at pictures like that.
When I look at pictures, I remind myself that it is just a stamp in a moment of time. I remind myself that everyone has good angles. Everyone has bad angles. Some parts of me are symmetrical. Some parts of me are not. Some parts of me are my favorite and other parts of me are not. And I also remind myself that everyone, no matter how beautiful they are, also feels the same way. I also remind myself that I deserve love, just like you deserve love. It is hard not to beat yourself up sometimes because of a bad picture. But you know what? Life is not always pretty, right? It's 50-50. Sometimes I feel like I look my best. Sometimes I feel like I don't. And so the best thing I can do for myself when I look at a picture is exactly what I would do for you as my friend, which is compassion and grace, and just look at the beauty inside. It's not always an easy thing to do, but I promise it makes a picture much easier to swallow.
When I look at pictures of myself, I remind myself that that girl and that woman, whatever stage of life picture I'm looking at, when sometimes my immediate thoughts want to go straight to the negative, like, wow, look how big I was, or, you know, how could I let myself get that way, or anything like that. I like to think about where I was at in that stage of my life when I was in that picture. And instead of picking everything about me and how I look apart in that picture, I can think of the time in my life that I was in and how much maybe I was struggling or the tough things I was going through at that time. But all the things I was succeeding at that time, I might not have been succeeding at my weight loss goals, but there were times that I was highly succeeding in my career or my marriage or things that I was spending a lot of time on for my kids and, you know, a time in my life that I won't ever get back with them. And so where I used to beat myself up about pictures that I didn't like looking at or thinking about how I felt as a person in that body at that time, now I can look at them with much more grace and be thankful that I was strong enough to get through those times and keep going and keep seeking the help that I needed to eventually get to be the person that I am today. Thankfully, I've always had this just little gut thing in me that no matter what is happening, no matter what I've been through, I've just always promised myself I would never be a quitter. I would never quit on whatever the desire was or the goal that I was reaching for. And I'm so grateful that I didn't quit on me and finding the solution that I was looking for. And I spent way too much of my life looking for that perfect diet, that perfect workout program, or that perfect solution. And finding PNP was the thing that totally saved my life in more ways than one. So I look at pictures now and think about how far my life has come. And I love having those pictures, because if I didn't have those pictures, I wouldn't be able to show people how much I've changed and how much I've achieved and how hard I've worked to get to where I'm at today. And I still have a vision in my head of what my final goal picture will look like compared to the stage I'm at now and the stage I was at way back when.